So let's read that again. Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Paul speaking, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So Timothy was brought up by two godly women. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Now, upbringing really isn't what determines whether or not necessarily you're going to have this genuineness of faith. And actually, that's what we're going to be looking at today, is to see what is it that made Timothy's faith so genuine. Now, we know, of course, that it's so important that the kids are raised up in the Word. I've dedicated my life to that, to reaching kids with the gospel and discipling them and helping them to grow up in God's Word, regardless of what home they're in, regardless of what their background is. But we also know that God can call people out of just the craziest circumstances, right? But he was blessed to have a godly grandmother and mother. But it sounds like his father was not a Christian, was not following Christ. It just says in Acts that he was a Greek. But again, Paul makes no mention of a godly father in his life. And so the word, it's likely that his grandmother and mother actually first heard the gospel from Paul himself, right? When he came through their neck of the woods and shared the gospel. It's likely that that's where they first believed. So, throughout Timothy's life, Paul would repeatedly refer to him as his child in Christ, and it may be that he was his grandchild in Christ. It could be. We really don't know for certain, but there was a really, really strong connection between Timothy and the gospel in his family, and there's a really, really strong connection between him and Paul straight from the beginning. So, the next thing I'd like to talk with you guys about is something that Timothy has it's repeated numerous times in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, and that's the giftings that he had. So let's open up to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and look at this mention of Timothy's, the gifts that God had given him, or some of the gifts that God had given him. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading. Sorry about that. Let's see here. So until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy. When the council of elders laid their hands on you, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And then in 2 Timothy, he speaks again of this gift, Paul. In 2 Timothy, starting in verse 6. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Oh, wait a second here. I'm in chapter 2. My bad. All right. So in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verses 6 through 8. It's see here. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And now in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So Timothy was gifted by the Holy Spirit with the gift of teaching, evangelism, and he was put in a position of leadership. All right. Later we're going to talk a little bit more about all the different places that Paul would send him to serve the churches. And the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, it appears he's serving in Ephesus there. But God had clearly given him this gift of teaching, the gift of leadership, and the gift of evangelism. And he would serve alongside Paul in his the majority of the second, or really the entirety of his second missionary journey and part of the third. And so we're going to take a minute here and look at how God would take Timothy, this very young man, and would kind of throw him right into the middle of the most amazing evangelistic work going on in the world at that time. So we're going to go back. Thank you for your patience. We've been flipping around a little bit here, but we're going to stick with this section for a little bit longer here and talk about some of the things that Timothy actually got to see and be a part of in his life. So in Acts chapter 15, that's the beginning here, we're going to read through his part and talk about some of the different things that Timothy actually got to see and do serving alongside Paul. So I'm going to start in verse 36 here. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Remember, this is the second journey. So Paul and Barnabas, they had already gone and shared the gospel in many places, had started to lay the foundation for the many churches spreading around the Mediterranean. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. I'm not going to get into the whole controversy in this situation. I know there's a lot written about the conflict between Paul and John, and we've already talked about Barnabas and what a wonderful man he was and how he continued to care for and take John under his wing, and of course how Barnabas did the same thing with Paul himself. But just leave it to say that the Paul would not be traveling with John. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, another thing to keep in mind on the second journey is that the council in Jerusalem had just kind of gone through the first, they were dealing with the conflict of, okay, now we have Gentile believers that are coming into the church. What do we tell them to do? Do we tell them to live under the Old Testament law, or do we tell them, or talk to them and say, nope, forget it, forget everything, you guys don't have to do any of this. And so they had come to the conclusion that they should encourage the people in those places to live under some of these laws, and but they didn't want to be a burden to them. And so that was part of this journey, was to bring that word to the new churches and help clear up some of the confusion, as well as to evangelize and to disciple and continue doing the work. So Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Another issue going on at this time, or rather part of that, the issue going on, is that there were many, many people, Paul talks about this, there were many people all throughout the early church that were trying to put new believers under the law. They were trying to do that. And Paul was doing his best, and this is an example of this, to try and reconcile everybody to the body of Christ, bring everybody together, you know, the Gentiles and the Jews, Greeks and barbarians, bring everybody together. And so part of that was having Timothy be circumcised so that he wouldn't be looked down upon, so he would be able to have a ministry with the Jews that it wouldn't be impeded by any distraction about any of these things. Even though later, of course, in the book of Romans, Paul would clarify that circumcision is an outward sign of inward faith. It's by faith we're saved, not through these acts. So as they went through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they came to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, so, after this, that would come one of the very famous stories that many of us have heard about Paul and Silas and Timothy and their experience in the city of Philippi. So in Philippi, there was a girl named Lydia who had a demon in her who was being used to, not Lydia. That's the seller of purple goods here. All right. I got a little bit off track there. So let me jump into here. Verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. I was getting a little bit out of order there. So Lydia was one of the people that Timothy got to see come to the Lord. But actually the story I was getting to, and that's the next part here, is in verses 16 all the way through verse 40, we hear the story of how Paul and Silas end up in jail in Philippi. So there was a girl in the city that had a demon in her who was possessed, and her master, she was a slave, would use her prophetic powers to get money. And Paul, at a certain point, cast the demon out of this girl, and so her owners, being upset, knowing that they wouldn't get to, you know, continue reaping the rewards of owning this girl with a prophetic power, had Paul and Silas thrown in jail. Now, one of the big questions I had was, where was Timothy? Where was Timothy in this whole situation? And as I researched this, it's hard to know exactly what was going on. Some would say that Timothy was right there and wasn't mentioned, that he was in prison there too. But it seems to me in the passage that for some reason, Timothy was not arrested alongside Paul and Silas. It's hard to say for certain. but he was there with them. So all this time in Timothy, I can imagine, even though it seems that Timothy already had a great reputation, people already knew him as a genuine believer, right? This is a lot to take in. I mean, this would be a lot. Your first missionary trip, most young people today, their first missionary trip is something along the lines of traveling to another country, building something to help local people, and maybe sharing the gospel with a few folks. Timothy, his experience was very, very different. He's seeing the church being built from the ground up, and potentially, assuming that it's true that he wasn't in jail, he's going along and his fearless leaders are now in prison. I imagine that would be discouraging, right? I imagine that would be very discouraging. It must have been a really difficult time for Timothy. But nowhere in Timothy's life do we see one mention of him faltering. Right? We don't see a single mention of Timothy faltering in his focus and in his work, regardless of how complicated and difficult things were. I mean, they're dealing with opposition from within. They're dealing with people who are having disagreements about the law. They're dealing with opposition from without. Timothy having to experience, seeing Paul and Silas thrown in prison while they're going along. I imagine that would be really, really challenging and disheartening to see. Even my brothers, we're arguing about this stuff and we're dealing with pushback from people on the outside. But something that I admire is, and we're going to talk about this more, is the character of Timothy is never brought into question in Scripture. And in the book of, let's flip to 1 Timothy real quick here. Let's flip to 1 Timothy. See, in Paul's writings to Timothy in Ephesus, he mentions a lot of people in 1 and 2 Timothy. So, if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Actually, we'll go to verse 18 down. So, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in one accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, by rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. Among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And you look at in the end of 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 20, it says, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be to you. And even at the end of 2 Timothy, and we go here, in in chapter 4 and verse 9, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very useful to me for ministry. So all throughout Paul's writing to Timothy, you see examples of people who at one point or another, whether they were restored or not, some of them we don't know. In the case of John Mark and Paul, it's obvious the relationship was restored in the end. But we see examples of people who, under pressure or serving the Lord, they walk away. But we don't see that with Mr. Timothy. And Timothy, and not for lack of experience either. You can look on here, and we're not going to get into every single one of these verses here, but these are just the five different places that are mentioned specifically that Timothy was sent to. Of course, he traveled far and wide and went through many more places than this. But in Thessalonica and Ephesus, Berea, Corinth and Philippi, these are just a few of the churches that Timothy served. Right, just a few of the places. it's not that he didn't swerve because he just was young and inexperienced and he hadn't gone through the hardships. I mean, he went through the hardships right along with Paul, right along with Silas. He saw these same difficult things. He saw the challenges inside the church. He saw the challenges outside of the church. You know, in Corinth, obviously, they faced a lot of challenges inside. There were lots of issues with rampant immorality. In Ephesus, where he was serving when Paul wrote the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, he was in need of encouragement because there were people stirring up division in the church, and he needed guidance when it came to the leadership of these places. You know, I think it's safe to say that Timothy, throughout his life, really did go through the ringer. He really did go through a lot of these strifes and difficulties. But he did not swerve. Repeatedly, Paul would refer to Timothy as his child in Christ. Now, some have said that's because he shared the gospel with him first and believed first. But one way or another, you can't read the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and not see how much Paul loved him, how he was like a beloved child. You can see that in his writings to Timothy, that Timothy was facing a lot of questions and challenges. We already read this earlier, but let's go to 1 Timothy 4:12. I don't think it was a mistake or a coincidence that he wrote this to him. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. You know, earlier this week I was talking with Haig a little bit, and we were talking about Mr. Timothy, and we both kind of agreed. It seems like Timothy may not have been so sure of himself. He may not have been as comfortable in his position. I can tell you, I mean, I would be uncomfortable being in his position. I can't even imagine that. Having, you know, going with somebody as great, somebody as knowledgeable as Paul, seeing all these amazing people, meeting members of the 12 disciples who walked with Jesus, I imagine he felt pretty small and pretty ill-equipped to do what God had called him to do. But he listened, he obeyed, and he did it anyway. You know, just like we read in Acts 16, you know, he faced the persecution. He saw these things, and he did not give up. And I think that that's one of the biggest things I took away from looking at Timothy. Not that he, of course he was successful. You know, he had this wonderful mother and grandmother. That was a gift from God. Don't get me wrong. Having a wonderful grandmother and a mother, I can speak to that, is a wonderful thing. And you're encouraging you in your walk with the Lord. And I don't think that what was so special about Timothy was purely the giftings that God had given him, though those were great gifts. You know, Paul repeatedly encourages him, stoke into the fire, use these gifts, develop them, use what God has given you. But I think what made Timothy really special, Paul kind of nails it right on the head when he's writing to the believers in Philippians. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. The thing that made Timothy so special to me is he didn't have ulterior motives. Right? His only motive, his focus, as he said here, he was genuinely concerned for their welfare. For they all seek their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy's interest, his stake in ministry, was Jesus Christ. That was why he did what he did. Not to build himself up, you know, not to be considered wise among people, but his interest was that other people would know Jesus. And there's a lot of times in my life I look back and I question myself. What was your motivation for making that decision? You know, why did you do that, Daniel? Was that to glorify Jesus, or was that to glorify yourself? And I think that's a really good question for us to ask ourselves. Because we all know that doing something good for the wrong reasons isn't good, right? And that was what was special about Timothy. That was so special about him, is that he had a genuine love for Jesus, and it impacted everything he did. Even though he was young, even though he didn't have the same experience, even though he didn't get to see Jesus himself, he stood tall among the disciples because of his love for Jesus. And I think that's incredible. It reminds me of a verse here, and this is what I would like to leave you guys with today as an encouragement. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" I think what Paul valued so much about Timothy was that he denied himself, that he was willing to take up his cross and follow Jesus at any cost. He was willing to lose his life, and he didn't do it for any earthly profit or any earthly gain. It didn't matter that he didn't have the experience of some of these other people. And while his giftings were wonderful, as we talked about before, and his heritage was wonderful, ultimately, I think that's the defining thing that made Timothy Timothy, is his love for Jesus, that his willingness to sacrifice of himself, to persevere, to go through pain for the sake of Jesus. Because we all go through pain, right? But we don't all do that on behalf of Jesus in this life. So my encouragement for you is, I know many of you are suffering in different ways, serving Jesus, is to keep your eyes set on him. To always pray and ask the Lord to help you maintain that heart of genuine care for other people when it can be really difficult. And we can get worn down and we can become jaded sometimes. I know I can when it comes to helping people. But to keep your eyes set on Jesus, to carry your cross and follow him the way that Timothy did. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us all do that in this coming week. Father, thank you so much for the example of Timothy. Thank you so much for your word, the way you instruct us and guide us, the way you show us the way we ought to live our lives. Thank you for the example of Timothy and his genuine love for you and his genuine concern for other people. And I just pray that you'd help us to, all of us here, to act that out this week, to carry our cross, to carry our burdens, and to do it with a genuine heart of love for other people. I ask for strength, Lord, for everybody here and for those who couldn't be with us today. I ask for strength and encouragement. In Jesus' name.